Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Ball Watching Sinbin Edition number 3. I am delighted to be back here. Justin joining us today, as well as our celebrity MLS rules expert, all analysis, George Gansner, on the podcast for, like I said, Sinbin episode 3. I'm so excited, George. We have the lift. The CBA is in place. The real MLS referees, as we know them, are finally back in place. But George, before we kick it to you to tell us really what this whole thing's about and what it means to you as fans for listening here, Justin, I want you to give us some details as to what this new CBA entails.
Yeah, so quick background. I've been in a lockout since February 18th. So, I mean, we've seen it across the MLS with these backup refs not exactly performing as to the standards that we would expect. So after 37 days, it was lifted. The president of the PSRA, Peter Mankowski, he has mentioned that there will be an increase in wages for the referees of 28.36% in the first year, and then increasing anywhere from 3 to 6% over the next 7 years into the 2031, where the top scale referee will earn around a minimum of $200,000 in 2028. So it's a big increase, and obviously it's much needed with the size of the MLS and the way we're growing and how important these referees have been to us. And just a little more background, the professional referee organization, they supply the refs for the MLS, the NWSL, lower tier leagues, everything. And that has been locked out since February 18th. So this is massive. And if you recall, February 18th was just a couple days before the MLS kicked off. So 260 members now going to be flooding back in and taking care of the games that have been a little bit wonky, to put it lightly, to start.
Yeah, so Justin, I want to clarify just a little bit there. So this particular contract only applies to MLS, all right? So even though it's 260 people that are part of the association, it's really only the top 100, 120 that are impacted by this.
Okay.
We had people on from PSRA refereeing, and we still have people from PSRA refereeing in the NWSL, in the MLS Next Pro, USL. Those are all not, they were not impacted from the start. So it's only the top level that was the impact. But we're excited to have them back.
George, that's exactly why we have you on here. That is something that I would just overlook completely. So thank you for clarifying off the start.
Yeah, no problem. So and like you said, I had been hearing last week a little bit, number one, the silence that was out there from both the league and the PSRA led me to believe that they were actually sitting down and had decided not to sling any more mud. It wasn't confirmed to me by any stretch, but at one point I was told that you're not going to hear a lot. I can't say much or whatever. And that kind of then led me to believe that they were getting pretty close, right? So I had heard over the weekend that there was potentially going to be a vote. That news was also broken at one point over the weekend by somebody else in the media, maybe on the East Coast. And then I thought the vote would happen over the weekend. If it was going to, it didn't. It happened on Monday. And by midnight Eastern time on Monday, so shortly after 11 p.m. Central time, I started getting texts that it was ratified. So fortunately, that's the case. And I can share more details, but I'll wait for some of your questions.
Yeah. George, I kind of want to get your overall pulse on, obviously, negotiations are tricky. You know, both sides want to maintain some form of leverage and have that at the table. I kind of want to get your feel on, you know, if we're looking at PSRA as one side and pro/MLS on the other side of this table,
yeah,
who do you think gave up more ultimately in these negotiations? Or was it a pretty good kind of split of, you know, we're going to give up some and we're going to give up some and kind of meet halfway?
Yeah, so it sounds to me, and I don't have any insight directly into the negotiations. That stuff hasn't been shared with me, nor should it be shared with me, right, or anybody in the media. The impression that I get based on what PSRA and Peter Mankowski was saying, along with what Pro was putting out there over the last several weeks, is that they both gave, right? They both gave in. And so it sounds to me, I was given this information relatively quickly, is that the $2.8 million that PSRA had been saying was all it really would take to get this over with, just $100,000 per team, that actually happened. So the total give by MLS or Pro was that $2.8 million. On the flip side, what they got out of that, or what PSRA did not get, I'm hearing, is the health benefits, in particular for the people who are assistant referees, who, for instance, Katie Nesbitt, Brooke Mayo, and some of the others who have given up their day jobs to do this, really don't have the game count to be sitting at any reasonable level of an annual salary. And they don't have health benefits either, right? So they're going to make maybe $40,000, $50,000 to $60,000 a year because of their FIFA and MLS appointments. They don't have health benefits. And so what I heard, I think Corey Rockwell put it out there, was they have a health pool. So there's a pool of money that they can draw from. I think that's interesting, but it's still not the type of health benefits we're all used to when it comes to U.S.-based healthcare. As far as the rest of what PSRA gave up, it's a 7-year deal, man. That's a lot. And there, it's 2 World Cup cycles, and you know, it's unlikely that we're going to have a referee in the women's final again, but it could be, and it was a full crew. It's unlikely that we're going to have a referee that goes all the way to the final of the men's World Cup, but the reality is it could happen. And so when we're performing and we're showing that we have the skills to do those things, it reflects on the league as well. We spent years in the league with people coming at us saying, oh, your league is awful, your league is crap. And having to defend the league, saying, no, the league is really growing, it's really in great shape, we have great players, so on and so forth. So now we're really there, right? We're really there. And it continues to grow, but the level is really good. And you know, the referees need to be compensated for it and treated like professionals. And so we're getting there. We get further and further each time, and this is a great step in the right direction.
Yeah, so George, I think we kind of talked about it a little bit offline. And obviously, as Jake said, negotiations are tough. But what really kind of, I'm assuming, helped push these guys to the table even quicker are some of the blunders and mistakes that we've seen so far. So a stat that Jake has here is through 70 games this season, there were 35 VAR interventions, a rate that was 51% higher than what was recorded in the 2023 season. And I know you kind of mentioned it to us that you had some people possibly reach out about the DC game and saying how horrible that was. But you're seeing this across the league as well. I just want to make sure that our listeners know that it's not just a city thing. Like, I know last year we had a couple things with handballs and all that, and that's how originally we connected with you, that it felt like we were always getting the short end of the stick from the refs, but it's really across the league.
It is across the league. And here's the thing is, you know, you've got to watch more than just St. Louis City games to get a broader understanding of it. There were some games that were refereed throughout the league over the past few weeks that were not terrible. They weren't great. You could see that these are not the full experienced referees, but they weren't terrible. There were other games that were absolutely terrible. And I would say, I think if you really want to watch a game that didn't go well, go watch the first half of the Columbus-Charlotte game. It was at Charlotte, so Charlotte-Columbus game. It was not good. Like, it really wasn't good. And I feel like the referees, you know, we all know that they were put in well over their heads, but they accepted these opportunities, right? And so they've set themselves up for the criticism. We'll continue to criticize the guys and girls that are on the field now, going back as the full referees. I haven't had any challenges whatsoever to go out and critique them when they've done something wrong. Let's talk about why it was wrong. But you're going to see a lot less than that. And I'll give you a couple examples. Number one is, for me, across the league, in particular this weekend and last weekend, there were so many decisions that should have gone to VAR by protocol that didn't. I was feeling like they were just saying, look, we're not going to look at it because if we look at it, it's going to be a statistic. If we don't look at it, nobody's going to count it, right? And that's not okay. It's not okay to run the league that way. The other thing is there were things that happened throughout the weekend that really impacted games. And you know, we've talked about this a couple times, where in the Salt Lake game, St. Louis Salt Lake game a couple of weeks ago, that there was an offside decision that was made late that stopped a counterattack, right? And it was just the beginning of a counterattack, but it was numbers up. If you watch the U.S.-Mexico game on Sunday night, Drew Fisher, who is a PSRA referee and did a really good job managing that game, it's a really difficult game to manage, he did exactly what he should have done. There was a late offside decision. flag went up, and he waited and then told the assistant referee to put the flag down as, I believe it was Mexico, it could have been the U.S., I don't remember exactly, started a counterattack. And so those are the types of things that we're going to see. You shouldn't notice those things as a spectator. Shouldn't notice them at all. I'll see them. It's a trained eye, right? But there are other things like that that just, they've happened throughout the last several weeks. They impact the points in the games. Poor decisions on balls in and out of play that change the outcome of the game. Philadelphia and Kansas City. Who knows? You could say that for the St. Louis DC game the other day because St. Louis had a what should have been a corner kick. It ended up given as a goal kick. And about a minute later, DC comes down and scores a goal. The players have to defend. I'm not taking that out of the way of the players, but that referee's decision impacted the outcome of the game. And so we'll continue to see stuff like that. There's no question. But it'll be a lot less, and that's what will make the game more enjoyable to watch.
That's a good reminder for everyone listening. Just because we have, you know, the real higher quality, you know, higher experienced referees coming back, doesn't mean you won't get mad at decisions that are made on the pitch. In fact, it's probably going to remain, but at least you know that this is someone that's operating at the top of their level. They have a better experience, better background, and hopefully, I love how you talked about it, George. We go back to not really noticing the referees. They're kind of there. They're managing the game. It's a very kind of automatic type process. And you know what they call? It's because they need to call it. And when they need to review it, it's because they need to review it, and so on. So I'm looking forward to a return to normalcy. But I do want to mention, because we are talking about rules and how they're officiated here, there's no confirmation on this yet, but there were supposed to be some new rules added to the sporting rules for this year in the MLS, specifically the off-field treatment rule, time substitutions, and in-stadium VAR announcements. Those are just a subset, but the ones that I feel are the most relevant right now to me, because I think as a fan, you would have liked to have seen these be in play when we played against DC, because they were, you know, using a lot of this to their advantage, a lot of time wasting. So, George, I know there's no confirmation on if they're starting this weekend or when that will be, or maybe it's pushed off. I don't know. I really hope they come right away. But I'm curious, George, to hear your perspective on those rules.
Yeah. So to your point, I don't know if they'll be implemented or not. I haven't heard anything or read anything. I've seen some tweets, but that's just from spectators saying, hey, you know, we're looking forward to seeing these things. So haven't seen anything official. I would suspect that we will get in-stadium VAR announcements. That's an easy one to implement and doesn't impact the game. Whereas the other two, the substitution and a player having to leave the field within 10 seconds, or the injury and the player having to leave the field for 2 minutes, those have an impact on the game, right? So now we've gone, six match days without that in place, which is a quarter of the season, basically, maybe a little bit less than that. But yeah, that's an impact if we add those in now, or if the league adds those in. So it'd be interesting to see if they do that, or if they only say, okay, we're going to do that next year or after the All-Star break or something like that, as opposed to implementing them right now. I think they will have a significant impact, but we talked about this off recording too, and I'd like to remind the fans that the one time that you can really get into the referee's head is when the other team is delaying restarts, right? And we saw that a lot on Saturday with DC United, and to be honest, they did it really, really well. But the spectators can get impacted into the referee. That's when you can influence the referee's decision, because they have to start to listen to some extent. And whether they put those rules in or not, that's something that the fans need to know.
And I think that's something that City Park is definitely going to make sure the ref hears it. I think we're a rowdy bunch when we score goals or we have things going against us. So that is something 100% to remember. And I will say, even one more rule that's a little bit even further out, George, some more of we don't even know when this could possibly come into effect, or if it will come into effect, is the IFAB, the new offside rule criteria. Just want to get your thoughts on that, to where the whole body having to be behind the defender, and kind of what your thoughts are on that, and if there would be an implementation, when do you think that would be, or do you think it'll ever get there?
Yeah, absolutely. So they'll go through a testing phase in the first, or to start, right? And I don't know where they'll test. There was some rumors that it would be done over in the UK, either in the Women's League or in the European Championships or something to that effect. So that will happen. whether or not they move forward, and I frankly think that they will move forward. In the United States, 40 years ago, that's how I was taught to decide offside. So this is not going to be a big deal, except retraining the mind to a different perspective, right? And that will be very difficult to do for a lot of the assistant referees, especially in year one. That at earliest will be implemented next year in Major League Soccer, at the absolute earliest. And I doubt it'll even be next year, because when they implement law changes or interpretation changes like this, it usually takes, they'll do their pilot. They'll go through, they'll say, yes, we're going to do it. It gets implemented July 1st or whatever that date is now, which is in the middle of the MLS season. So they won't make that change in Major League Soccer. So it would be 2 years really before that change gets implemented in Major League Soccer. So we've got plenty of time to see it in the Premier League, the Bundesliga, La Liga, Ligue 1, whatever, before it ever comes here and kind of get used to it. It'll be the players and the referees in our league that'll have more trouble really getting through that.
I'm looking forward to that potentially. So I don't know if we covered it a little bit already, but for the new rule, for anyone listening, they haven't seen this yet. The new rule that's being trialed for offside criteria is that the entire body of the attacker has to be in front of the last defender. So if there's a foot, a knee, a hand, whatever it is that's in line with that last defender, it's not offsides. So
that's
it'll be a very clear
really
line.
Difficult to make that decision as an assistant referee.
Right, right. So who knows? Looking forward to all kind of expansions or ideas that improve the game, make it easier on the referees, hopefully, and make this game more smooth, especially some of those new rules we already talked about with limiting, you know, the amount of time that the ball is not in play. I think we saw a hell of a lot of time with the ball not in play in this last St. Louis City versus DC United match. So hoping and praying that the new refs and these new rules can kind of bring this back under control and hopefully give us more of the product that we're looking for, George. So any parting thoughts or optimism you can share with us as we're now on the other side of this lockout?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing the right people on the field again, the ones with the experience. Again, to what we talked about earlier, there will still be mistakes. There will still be challenges. There should just be a lot fewer of them. And one of the things, and thank you guys for letting me talk about this. We talk every once in a while here doing this, and I love doing this, and I'm glad that there's a lot of people who listen in. Every Thursday night on KMOX Radio, it's 11:20 a.m., there is the St. Louis City Soccer Report from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and I'm on the 8:45 segment. It's the last segment of the first hour where we talk about these things and other stuff on KMOX about the laws of the game. So that can be wide open. I'd love to take phone calls there as well. I know this is a bit of a limited media that we're outbound doing this here. But I'm happy to take phone calls on KMOX as well. And if we get those, I'll answer them. Nobody's bothered to call in and ask me a question yet, though. So,
George, I think you're going to be getting too many calls now. So you better be ready.
If we can help people learn and go through and understand, still yell at the referees. That's part of the fun part of the game. But if we can help understand and learn a bit more, then I'm more than willing to do that.
I love it. Well, George, I think as well, now that we have this and you can't now just blame everything in the replacement referees, I have a feeling we're going to probably start to integrate a lot more questions from listeners and fans into these segments as well. So I'm really looking forward to that. George, thank you so much again for your time. This is Sinbin on Ball Watching, and I'm sure we'll be back again very soon with you, George. But until then, thank you so much for breaking this down for us.
No problem. Thanks, guys.